Vitaly Katsanelson is the Chief Investment Officer at Investment Management Associates in Denver. The website is imausa.com. He's also the author of The Little Book of Sideways Markets and Active Value Investing, Making Money in Range-Bound Markets. But more to the point, Vitaly is a prolific writer and investment advisor on all things value investing related. He follows all of the investors like Warren Buffett very closely. He goes out to the Berkshire conferences, and I've had him on the show before. He always discusses very interesting points, very well expressed. Welcome back to the show, Vitaly.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So we've just had this correction in the market last week, and it brings up some dilemmas for investors. For example, some people feel that even though the market has come back, it's still not cheap. And more importantly, that, you know, the government is still propping it up and that there's an economic time bomb about to explode. Can you take us through your thoughts on that?
Sure. I mean, it's almost like investor is forced into this kind of two binary decisions. On the one side, you're basically saying, okay, I believe this, you know, this market is overvalued. You know, I'm just going to stay in cash.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that, you know, while you do this, you know, your neighbors and relatives are making money and you feel like an idiot.
Right.
On the other side, you say, okay, well, I'm going to ride, you know, this bull market and I'm going to get off at the top.
Yeah.
And this mentality is basically, you're basically saying, I can time the market. I'll be able to get off at the top. Well, it's extremely difficult to do, and I don't know anybody who's done it more than once.
Yeah.
So, but in reality, we don't have to have this kind of a binary strategy. You know, what you have to do is this, and this is what I wrote about. The first thing you want to do, you want to look and identify all the risks, not just, you know, what you think may happen in the next 6 months, but you want to look at the climate changing events that you think may happen over the next many years.
Yeah, so talk to us a little about what you mean when you say climate changing events. Give
okay,
us an
sure.
example.
You know, if you try to figure out what the economy is going to do over the next 6 months, it's almost like trying to forecast weather.
Uh-huh.
It's like you waste a lot of energy, and it's kind of really becomes like knowing yesterday's weather is really not relevant.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing. So what you want to do, you want to look at the climate changing events, something that's going to be very significant that will impact, that may impact your portfolio, and I'll address this in a second. So let me give you some examples of that. The lower interest rates in the United States going much higher, that's a risk. I'm not saying this is going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know when it's going to happen. It may be, they may stay low for a long, long time. But them going up a lot higher, it's a very probable risk.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate profit margins in the United States going much lower from the all-time highs is another risk.
Mm-hmm.
Our economy growing at a much slower rate in the future is another possible risk. Let's look at Europe. Europe, you know, disintegrating is actually a real risk. China, you know, they have a tremendous bubble in China, much bigger than we ever seen before. At some point, it's going to implode.
Okay, so that's another risk. Yeah, that's enough for our purposes here. So,
okay,
just like the climate change, when you're looking at the weather and you're saying that seas will rise sometime in the future, mm-hmm. it's that same kind of long-term event you're trying to talk about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then the next step is basically you're saying, all right, the value of any stock in the future will be influenced by only two things, really. It's what the earnings are going to do mm-hmm. and what's going to happen to price to earnings. That's it.
Well, price to earnings, however, is very much controlled by interest rates, right?
Well, exactly. It's controlled by many things, yes. And interest rates are a very important factor. But my point is, as an analyst, if you get these two things right about the company,
mm-hmm.
you know, then that's all that matters.
Okay.
And it's a mathematical relationship. So then what you try to do is try to apply every single one of the risks. When you analyze a company, you say, okay, how will this impact the E mm-hmm. and the PE?
Mm-hmm. The earnings and the price
the earnings
to earnings.
And price to earnings, exactly.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And this is what we do here. And then you say, all right, so if you think high interest rates will drive PEs lower, then when I buy a company, I want to buy a company that's PE is not very high.
Yeah.
Okay, it's very, very cheap. In fact, it's ridiculously cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just an example of that. Then if you think that also the high interest rates, and I'm just picking on interest rates right now, you know, will reduce companies' net income, the cost of borrowing will go up,
yeah.
then you probably want to stay away from companies that are very leveraged.
That highly leveraged. So there's two simple metrics to get this idea of really what you're looking for when you're trying to buy companies for the long term is identifying what the risks are. So what is this volatility? Because for lack of, you know, a lot of time here to discuss this, what does this volatility mean to you as an investor? Are you then seeing these same companies that you like at cheaper prices? Is that more attractive? Or are they still not cheap enough? Or where does it stand for you?
You know, it's kind of interesting. If you look at a company, you know nothing about the business. For you, the volatility means risk, because you're basically saying when the stock declined 20%,
yeah,
the business became less valuable,
mm-hmm,
because you don't know what the business is worth.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, we spend a lot of time analyzing companies and trying to figure out what the business is worth. Therefore, this volatility for us is our friend,
yeah,
because we say, all right, the business is worth $10, and now the price is $6.
Yes.
So now if we can buy basically $10 for $6, great.
Right.
So the problem is this last 2 weeks, 3 weeks really did not give us that much opportunity because things did not decline enough for us.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we didn't really buy much.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I find with the investors that I work with is when we talk about buying the S&P 500 and index funds and the like, that's all very well and fine. But when those go down by 5, 10, 15%, there isn't a sense that they're grounded as to really what they own. But I say, now just imagine this was General Electric or this was Procter & Gamble. Oh, now it's tangible. And they say, well, now I can understand, you know, it's not that bad that it's gone down. Actually, it may be an opportunity now. But with the S&P, it's just a number that bounces around. People don't really understand what it means.
You know, it's almost like when you own General Electric, you own a steak.
Yeah.
When you own S&P 500, you own a hot dog, and you don't really know what goes into it.
Well, I was thinking the General Electric was like a steak, S-T-A-K-E, like you own a steak in it. But you're actually S-T-E-A-K, right? You own a steak versus a hot dog.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
You can relate a lot more what is inside, you know, that steak, you know, versus what is in a hot dog.
Yeah,
you have no idea
sure.
Of it.
Well, actually, that's quite true. There's another factor here that I want to talk about, and that is that money managers are not immune to this because, you know, if they stay in cash as the market rises, then they may lose their investors and they may have to pull their kids out of pricey private schools, and that nobody wants to do that. So they're going to stay until the last dog is hung, as they say, and hope that they can get out at the right time either. So it's not as if just the unsophisticated retail investor is the only one subject to these emotional forces.
You know, I mean, you make a great point. The worst year for our firm was 1999. We lost, you know, the most clients that year,
mm-hmm,
because I think the market was up 30-something percent. We were up 5%.
Yeah.
And that year, you know, we were just basically buying our own high-quality companies that were
yeah,
cheap. And that's not what was hot that year. And everybody thought that...
You're an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then we were proven right, but it didn't matter because we had 30% less clients.
Yeah, that's exactly. And, you know, you're not alone if it makes it any better. Jeremy Grantham also described the same experiences. He was like, I'm not buying these internet stocks. I'm not paying these multiples. And people were leaving him in droves. And actually, Bill Gross always takes singular focused bets. And look what happened to him last year.
Exactly. And you can argue he made a huge bet 20 plus years ago, 30 years ago, and that's what turned into a, you know, multi-trillion dollar firm, Pinko.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but of course, when he made a wrong bet, you know, he lost his job.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could say that.
Ago, yeah.
Yeah. But he's got a couple of bucks in the bank, so it's not going to hurt him
he's
too
fine.
Much.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Unfortunately, you're out of time. Very entertaining. Vitaly Katsanelson is my guest. He's the Chief Investment Officer at Investment Management Associates in Denver, imausa.com. You can get his written stuff there. It's always entertaining. It's always very informative. And I'm going to have you back. And next year, I'll see you at the Berkshire Conference.
Absolutely.
Okay, Vitaly, take care.